when you've only been together for a few minutes, maybe an hour or so, and you realize this is somebody that I want to spend as much time as possible with. You ever had somebody like that? You know, where you, there immediately is something about them that draws you, that is life-giving to you. And, you know, a number of months ago, I had the chance to meet Earl James. And Earl has become one of those people for me, someone who I just think, how can I spend more time with this guy? You know, problem is he lives in New Jersey. That's a bit of an issue, you know. But we've actually been able to spend a fair amount of time together. I'll share more about that in a second. So Earl is one of our denominational leaders. So the denomination we belong to, the Reformed Church in America, has paid staff that help oversee initiatives within the denomination as a whole. So Earl's title, I think, if I got this right, is Coordinator of Cultural Agility and Advocacy. Okay. So parse that out, cultural agility. Earl helps congregations become more agile when they're dealing with different cultural issues, be it race, ethnicity, generation, any number of things. He comes and helps them navigate that, learn, grow, equip, be equipped. And then advocacy, social justice, work around creation care, work around racial equity. So this is how we got connected to Earl. We're thinking a lot about these things, and one day some random person out there in the world connected the two of us. And it's led to Earl coming here and training a group of people who are thinking a lot about cultural agility, which I think has implications for how we live well with CCGR and the Nepali Church, and which I think has implications for how we pursue racial equity in this city. So Earl's been flying out from New Jersey, spent 2 weekends with that team already now, and there's a few more coming up. And I said to him about a month ago, hey, the next time you come out, can you preach? You know, I'd like a Sunday off. And I think our congregation would really benefit from hearing from you, our whole crew. So that's a little bit of the backstory of why Earl is here. And I would just invite you to join me in welcoming him here this morning.
Am I supposed to squat down to this level? Or? Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here and to share with you this morning. Chris, thanks very much for the opportunity. I appreciate getting to know you over the months, getting to know you. Partners at the Bridge over the months, and I'm looking forward to working with you for a while. I used to live in Grand Rapids, lived here for 30-some years, and would drive down 28th Street and would see First New Life Reformed Church and then the Branch. And I wondered, the Branch is connected to what? What is the Branch? What is life? What is that like? What do they do in that? And so it's really kind of good that we could get together and do some real sharing about what is going on in the Branch, but also what is going on in the Branch. So honored to be here. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask that the words that I share are words that you honor. They come from you. To begin with, please just close your eyes as we share this scripture and give your imagination fully to hearing this prophetic word from God in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts. If it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of these people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight? Declares the Lord of hosts.
elderly people simply sitting on the street corners, talking, laughing, sharing about the days of their youth, talking about their children and grandchildren. And do you see children and teens playing in the streets, laughing, sitting in a circle, or playing ball games, or doing homework, or making plans about anything? To be blunt, these pictures that these verses offer are pretty unimpressive. Not much exciting, not too thrilling, nothing like that going on. If you or I were driving by that scene, we probably would not stop to stare. So you might ask, why in the world would a set of verses like these be held up for us today? This is no justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream kind of prophecy. This is no God so loved the world or the greatest of these kind of verses. This is just different. Nothing eye-catching or particularly thrilling, or again, if you or I were driving by, nothing that would make you want to do with this stuff. Just too much. Or is it really? Old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. Does that simple sentence accurately describe what our elderly face? Many have health challenges that might not be adequately cared for, or heavy frustrations in trying to figure out how to navigate their way through large and complex healthcare systems. Many have mobility challenges, or face increasing vulnerability to crime, or cope with reduced income on with fewer hedges against poverty. The church I used to go to is in a neighborhood where elderly people feared to sit on their front porches because groups of kids sort of took them over. And yes, many of our elderly do not congregate. Many are too isolated and lonely. There is a great distance between the image of life for the elderly and Zechariah's prophecy on the one hand, and the realities of being elderly, both during his time. As with the elderly, so with children and teens. About them, too, we have reasons for concern. Not every street, every house, every school, every wooded area or park or so on are safe for children and teens to just live and learn and experience unpressured rhythms of peace. And in both Zechariah's day and ours, we long for a different reality for many of our children and teens. We long for the gap between what is and what is hoped for. Let's take a look again at this text. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of these people, should it not also be marvelous in my sight? Although worded as a question, this is no question. And please remember that this is no Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus progressive, no evangelical versus social justice debate. This is a clear, unchallengeable, prophetic statement. The heart of God longs for fulfillment. The heart of God would marvel if old men and old women, if little girls and little boys, regularly experienced uncomplicated everyday existences that brought them joy, peace, and opportunity to grow. So what takeaways do you and I have from this prophetic word from Zechariah? How do his words make a difference for us today? First, do you see distances or gaps between the kind of image Zechariah projected and everyday life experiences for people who live where we live, work, and worship? Let's just take a moment in silence to think prayerfully within ourselves about what elderly and young people face. Another question for you and me is this. How does that distance between what you know and what the prophet Zechariah described affect your heart? What do you feel? Why do you feel that way? Let's just take a moment to prayerfully reflect on this. Sisters and brothers, the Bible has many verses that give guidance on how the people of God are to address these gaps between prophetic hope and experienced realities. Here are two of those verses. From the Psalms, we hear, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. And from Proverbs, we hear, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. What do these two verses move you to think, to be, and to do regarding what is in your heart about these gaps? Let's take a moment to prayerfully consider. Finally, what are some steps that you and I might take to help us understand those gaps from the perspective of people who live within them? We might start talking with them to understand their stories. And we might develop some active listening skills that can help us do that well. One active listening skill has an odd name. It's FEE. F stands for feelings, E for examples, N for need, I for involvement. And here's how we might use. You're listening to learn from something. I'm thinking about a Zechariah prophecy. Maybe it's an elderly person or a young person. We want to figure out what is so in their lives. So you hear her or him say something in a way that makes you feel like this person is going through something right now as they're sharing these words. You decide you need to listen more closely at that moment. So, step one, you ask a F question. F is for feeling. You just said such and such. What were you feeling at that moment? Listen carefully for their feeling. Not a thought, not an explanation, a feeling. Feeling is like an emotion. It's like sad or glad or mad. It's like hurt or joyful or betrayed. Things like that. Ask the person to name their feeling. Step two. Then you ask your E question. E is for example. You say, okay, you felt overwhelmed and frustrated by X. Can you give me an example of other times when you had that same feeling? Dig in for his information. You might even repeat back to what she or she said to you and say, did I hear you correctly? Step three, ask your end question, and it's for need, as in need about something. You say, okay, I understand your feeling about that situation and about other times when you've had that same feeling.
What do you need that would assist you with that feeling or with those situations? You listen to what she or he says. In step four, you make an I decision. I is for involvement. You decide whether, when, with whom, and why you respond to what she or he feels and experiences in life. Feeney. It is a very good active listening tool that you and I can use individually, as or within a family, as or within a group, as or within a congregation, when we're seeking to side with the heart of God and the prophetic word written in the book of Zechariah. I'll reread Zechariah's prophetic word and then close in prayer. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of these people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you moved on your servant Zechariah to write these words that stir and move and remind us of how we are in unity with you and with others. We ask that somehow what stirs in our hearts, we understand about how it relates to the stirring in your own. Guide us, we pray, in responding together as the people you have called by your name to the world that you are seeking to redeem and save. In Jesus' name, amen.